problem's not recognised as a problem. You know, if you're not recording it, then you've not got a problem. You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel real. And therefore, you're not going to do anything about it. It's not going to get fixed. And that way you become desensitized to it because it's always there. You know, you see it all the time. And in fresh cows, that just shows up with just a little bit off, seems to take time getting going, not hitting the ground running, few retained placentas, bit of metritis, some ketotic cows, a few DAs about. But because it's routine, you know, it'll par for the course, it just becomes accepted.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Get an exclusive update from the top dairy feed suppliers live on May 28th at 1 p.m. Central. Reserve your free spot at dairynutritionblackbelt.com/summit. DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Boost digestive health, performance, and profitability with Digesterone Prime, a feed additive that enhances digestion and immune function in dairy calves. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/prime. Exalit, a novel product for the management of hypocalcemia. It's uncomplicated excellence. Adiseo USA, producers of Smartamine M and MilkPay.com. Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together. Agrarian Solutions, research-backed microbial solutions for healthier, higher-performing livestock. AgriComfort, the cow comfort specialist, because her longevity is your legacy.
Hello and welcome back to the Dairy Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. My name is Barry Bradford from Michigan State University. Today, I'm happy to welcome to the show Peter Jackson. Peter is a technical services consultant with Bovis Inc. And Peter, thanks a lot for coming today.
Well, thank you ever so much for inviting me. It's a first. So, yeah, really looking forward to it.
That doesn't sound like an Arkansas accent. Where are you joining us from today, Peter?
No, definitely not an Arkansas accent. No, I'm joining you from the UK, pretty centrally based. Not, 50 minutes southwest of Manchester, 50 minutes south of Liverpool. So, yeah, find a map. That's where I am.
And did you grow up on a dairy there, Peter, or how did you get into this line of work?
Oh, no, I'm far from dairy farming. My parents had nothing to do with agriculture in any way, shape or form, but ever since I was a small boy, very small, you know, sort of 6-7 years old, uh-huh. I came across cows in a barn with my grandfather. We'd call it a shippen. You guys would call it tie stall. I just thought the sights and sounds and smells of that was just fantastic. And I'm going back a long way. I'm going back to very early 1970s.
Okay.
And here I am today. Some 40, where are we now? 43 years into a dairy career, so...
Did you find a way to get your hands dirty and egged in high school, or did you go study at university? Or
yeah. So I first started milking cows, if you like, on a 45 cow tie stall barn back in my grandparents' house in North Staffordshire. Yeah, they couldn't keep me off the place as a 13 year old, and then I left school. Went to agricultural college 3 years and then launched into the industry in 1985. Managing dairy herds then. So,
okay.
Yeah, did that for about 15 years. Had, 6 years in research and development on a dairy farm for a feed company. And then I joined a genetics company back in 2007. And I was 18 years with them as a technical services consultant for Europe, Middle East and Africa. So now I find myself with Bovis Inc. as of October this last year.
quite a path you've taken. So maybe fill us in a little bit before we kind of get in the weeds a little. Maybe not everybody's familiar with Bovisync. Maybe you could explain a little bit what that is.
Yeah, so Bovisync's a dairy herd management platform. It's incredibly intuitive. I've spent quite a lot of time, as you can imagine, over the years with different platforms of various types, and intuition and how to use platforms to get the best out of them for the best of your business is sometimes challenging. And I find that what we do with Bovisync and how we engage particularly employees in how to use that, actually cowside, I find that it's just that's a game changer. It used properly, it manages herds of cows.
Okay. Yeah.
Whether you've got 300 cows or 3,000 cows, it's and more.
And it is a lot of your focus on sort of introducing that to the UK market, or I don't know how much of a market share there is there.
We've got in my old life previous, we were distributors for Bovisync, and we also used Bovisync as a bureau for a breeder service. Nearly 250,000 cows on Bovisync in the UK for that side of it, plus people who use Bovisync as a farm management platform now, and that's expanding, which is great. And then if you take it just further afield, if you go a little bit more east, Europe, North Africa, as well as the volume of people that use it in the US, or the growing volume of people who are using it in the US, and further afield, even as far as Australia. So,
okay.
If you're tired of juggling paperwork, spreadsheets, and multiple systems, Bovisync makes herd management simple. It's a software designed for producers, helping you track health, breeding, and performance all in one place, while improving labor efficiency and cutting down on time spent entering data. That means fewer hours in the office and more time where it matters most, working with your herd. Learn more at Bovisync.com and see how simple and efficient herd management can be.
Well, I mean, so you interact with a lot of dairies, different places. Maybe we could start with, what do you kind of have your tentacles out there, your antenna out, looking for new developments and things that are shifting. What do you think is moving as much as anything right now?
I get asked that question quite a lot. What's the new thing in with dairy cows?
Right.
My answer quite often disappoints people. If you like, the next new thing is just transition your cows properly, to the best of your ability. It's not new, it's not shiny, and it doesn't arrive in a pallet or in a box. But looking over my shoulder, going back, nearly 30-odd years, mid-90s, I was first introduced to the concept of transition cow management. And in my opinion, it's the difference between an efficient, profitable dairy and those dairies that are just off the mark and just shy of where they want to be. So when milk checks come under pressure, a reassessment of basic fundamentals of the operation can pay dividends, and where best place to start than bedrock of any great dairy operation is transition cow programs.
I think that makes sense. You go to some dairies and they're doing the day-to-day stuff, it seems right, but they're maybe 10 pounds off their neighbor down the road, and it's hard to put your finger on it sometimes, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it's, when it comes to, milk, as I said, milk checks again under pressure, it's not always a financial exercise in cutting or removing costs. Can be quite often detrimental. Remove some dietary addition or stop doing something that's actually doing a job for you. Short term, you've saved some cash, but that can often hit you further on down the track. Making sure what's happening in your close-up pens, fresh pens, is best practice. That pays dividends long term. And more often than not, when you do have a check-in, what's going on in the pens, especially if you've not looked for a while, you can find things have started to maybe drift off into some processes, protocols that just aren't getting done as they were. And if that's the case, you've probably got a case of what's described as farm blindness syndrome. So,
yeah, you're going to have to define that term for me. Farm blindness syndrome. What's the story there?
Yeah, so credit where credit's due, that's not my phrase. Okay, so back in the summer of 22, I was putting together a presentation for some producers on calf young stock management. I was trawling some literature, came across a paper in the Journal of Animal Science from Professor John Mee at Moorpark Research University in Ireland. And it was called Denormalizing Poor Dairy Young Stock Management, Dealing with Farm Blindness. To quote Professor Mee pretty much directly, it was a misperception by producers that what they see every day on their own farm is normal and like that on every farm. And it becomes the new normal. So what Professor Mee described, I mean, that really resonated with me. You know, I thought the principle that applying that to young stock management, and it really does. And if nobody's ever read the paper, I recommend it to everybody. It's really well worth reading. It could apply to other aspects of the day-to-day management of a dairy operation, and particularly around transition care management. So in its simplest terms, farm or change blindness, if you like, is unrecognized subtle trends where the bad soon becomes the normal.
I like that term.
That's where it's come from.
It's kind of like the old saying about cooking the frog, right? You just slowly things drift and pretty,
that's pretty
soon you're cooked and you haven't even noticed.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, so I guess that's a good thing to build on. So like you said, that there's farms out there that things just aren't really hitting on all four cylinders, right, or eight cylinders or whatever. And it's hard to put your finger on it. And then maybe it's partly because of people sort of just not seeing what they're not seeing. Right? How do you help people deal with that? What's your strategy?
It usually occurs because of one of or more of four real failures that happens on the farm or in the pen, if you like. The problem is, one is probably, the problem is not recorded. So a classic case of if I don't record it, I haven't got it. And a common issue around that is people don't necessarily want not to record things, what's going on. It's usually, in my past experience, of people trying to record diseases and treatments that it just becomes a bit of a bottleneck. You know, it becomes a chore, a bind, if you like. Gets in the way of daily workflows. Or people time budgets, you know, we talk about time budgets for cows, but we should always absolutely consider time budgets for people and process. No matter how hard we try to cram in as much into a day, there's still only 24 hours to play with. So being sat in front of a desktop computer, relentlessly typing data in from 2-3 days ago is laborious, puts the quality of that data at risk. Consequently, you cannot beat recording data in a pen for me, lifetime as it happens, by people trained, you know, and consistently as well in how to record what's actually going on and what they've done about it. The who did what, the why and the when, if making people accountable. Giving people responsibility, taking ownership, like recording data, it's a win for both you and them because more often than not, they become more engaged with what you're trying to achieve. Ultimately, your operation gains off the back of that. But if it's not going to be straightforward or replicable, then, you know, it makes it really difficult. But your terms need to be clear. Definitions of disease, defined treatment protocols. A great example is metritis. I can still see large variations in the definition of what constitutes metritis. I see it recorded in some software programs as being out like 40, 50, even 90 days in milk. That's completely distorts what could actually be happening actually in your program. Now, is that a problem because the crews working with transition programs need upskilling, or is it because your farm software doesn't let you record it properly in a timely manner? Metritis definitions supplied by, well, go back as far as 2006 with Ian Sheldon, Stephen LeBlanc's paper from 2008. Metritis is associated with the first 21 days in milk. Post 21 days, it's endometritis, and pyometra, that's something completely different again. You know, working with your vet teams to map out the correct disease definitions and then follow up with clear protocols, you know, that's a win.
And I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, but part of the point of, you know, careful recording and consistent recording helps prevent this blindness disorder, because then you're able to actually look at benchmarks and like compare yourself against a real yardstick, or what's your primary point there?
Yeah, it is. And it's, I mean, if you think about the second rule, if you like, it's the problem's not recognized as a problem. You know, if you're not recording it, then you've not got a problem. You know?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel real. And therefore, you're not going to do anything about it. It's not going to get fixed. And that way you become desensitized to it because it's always there. You know, you see it all the time. And in fresh cows, that just shows up with just a little bit off, seems to take time getting going, not hitting the ground running, few retained placentas, bit of metritis, some ketotic cows, a few DAs about. But because it's routine, you know, it'll par for the course, it just becomes accepted. That tends not to happen overnight. Transition program drift into that scenario. Good example, body condition score in dry cows. Again, that happens over tends to happen over time. People just become accustomed to what it is that they're actually looking at. Over condition, you know, we all know what they're like. You know, with the get them into that fat cow, poor transition, poor repro, fat cow, poor transition, dead cow cycle. you know, and again, because it happens gradually over time, we become accustomed to what we see and accept it as being normal. Pretty much the reverse is true as well. Body condition score lost post fresh. You know, I hate that statement. You know, oh, my cows always lose body condition score after fresh. Well, you know, it ain't normal. The Brit hypothesis still stands. Well, that's going back to, what, 92, something like that. Paul Fricke did some great, that high fertility cycle paper he did in 22, he highlighted the fact that we've become over-conditioned, if you like, to accepting body condition score, you know, excess body condition score in dry cows. We consider what we're looking at. But again, you've got to come back to the data. If you can't record it accurately, and with a view to using that information to give you some quality insight to what's happening with your cows, or even get it out in a meaningful format to help you analyse what's going on, does your management platform allow you to do that?
Cow Manager's unique ear sensor measures ear temperature combined with eating, rumination, and activity, resulting in more accurate and earlier alerts. With Cow Manager, you can catch sick cows days before they show clinical signs, never miss a heat, and unlock your herd's full potential. Cow Manager provides 24/7 real-time insights to help improve herd health, fertility, and overall performance. To learn more, contact your Cow Manager specialist at Select Sires or visit cowmanager.com.
Yeah, so what are the keys to having, like, I think you made a couple points about you can take away a lot of the friction to making this happen, right, with the right tools. And then also you can remove some of the barriers to actually looking at the data and making decisions from it, right, which is kind of the whole point of the entire exercise, right? So what are the key aspects of that, I guess, to make it more likely that things will get done?
You know, I think I said before that, actually getting people engaged into what you're trying to achieve, you know, and, you know, giving someone a handheld device and saying, this is what I want to record and this is how I want you to record it. Getting your veterinary team and your nutritionist involved and finding out, you know, what it is that we need to do, how do we need to do it? Everyone's singing off the same page. And it's a must, in my opinion.
Yep. And I think you kind of alluded to maybe helping the frontline people understand the why is how we talk about it a lot of times, is not just, I need you to do X, Y, Z, but helping them understand what's the downstream benefit of that, so that when that day where they have 26 hours of work to do, you know, that they, even if they have to set it aside for a while, that they come back to it instead of saying, ah, nobody will know if I just skip that part. It
doesn't matter. Absolutely. I mean, one of the biggest issues sometimes you find with is that people just unaware of new technology, if you like, even advancements in management practices, you know, keeping up to date with what's available in the market, what your peers are doing, and then getting the right advice for what's best for you and your business. You know, technology provides, you know, some fantastic opportunities. Think about rumination and health alerts, fantastic. And technology continues to evolve at a pace. But you've got to use it. You know, and if you're not going to use it, you might as well leave your money in the bank, because you know, it's safer there than it is being invested in something that you're not going to use, or certainly use to the best of its ability. You know, if you think about the volume of data, you know, everyone goes on about the volume of data that we get on dairies these days. And, you know, you've got to be engaged with that. A good friend of mine and an ex-colleague described to me that you just become another drip if you're not careful, and a drip being data rich, insight poor.
I like that.
You've made what could be a huge investment in technology that's collecting all this data, and just sat on it and just not using it. It's frustrating at best.
Do you have any like keys for success? So a farm that maybe either wants to adopt a new technology or just use the tools they already have better, are there some key points to make in terms of making it work?
Absolutely, it's got a role to play. I mean, I saw you cut your podcast with Tara Bernhardt from Care Manager a few weeks ago, and she nailed the advantages that technology brings to dairies, particularly for dry transition cows. You know, if a farm's invested in that technology, then you know, we want to be doing a primary job in those close-up fresh cow pens of, you know, just looking for that high risk potential sick cow. How much training, you know, people need training in that stuff, you know, being able to interpret it, which is crucial. You know, what's, you know, just what are your fresh cows doing? You know, how quick are they bouncing back, you know, on rumination in those first 10 days of lactation? You know, rumination often drops before cows look sick. You know, gives you a chance to intervene, you know, which hopefully leads to less disease severity, less milk loss, fewer lactation exits, which, you know, because technology is great, but technology doesn't fix cows. People fix cows. So it's got to be used in the right way. Because someone, at the end of the day, someone's got to interpret that data, you know. So when it comes to individuals, physically go and find that cow and actually do something with it, you know. So got to have some rules in place, I think. I do think that writing an alert to action protocol is well worth it. So involving your vet and your nutritionist and decide who checks that list and how often, what's the first look and the when.
Kind of a decision tree.
Yeah, absolutely. How long is it to, you know, from that alert to when somebody actually does something with it? Get some written protocols in place, job descriptions almost, if you like.
Okay.
You know, make sure everyone's working off the same page. And again, record what you find and what you do. So accurately and timely. Track with a few KPIs, you know, have that time from alert to first intervention. You know, how long does it take to see a potential problem? follow some levels of transition care disease, so incidence and severity. Obviously, transition report card's an excellent tool. You know, we can customize that to include metrics that you want to see, not particularly metrics or data that others might want you to see. You know, what is actually, what do you want to see in your KPIs?
And sorry, the teacher in me, for anybody who doesn't use that term a lot, KPIs are key performance indicators.
Yeah, yeah. Usually some of the most abused metrics on farms, but
it's still useful, you
know,
though.
But yeah, unless you know what's happening, then you're in the dark. You know, you are blind, if you like. So, you know, tracking the frequency of some, you know, those early lactation nasties, milk fever, RPs, botrytis, etc. You know, is my transition disease incidence, which you can get in those reports, high, better, worse than where I want it to be, getting better or worse? Does it affect a specific lactation cohort, or is it across all lactation groups? You know, just slice and dice what it is you've got. Week four milks, break those out into first, second, third lactation plus. They're definitely worth tracking. Got a lot of time for that metric. Excuse me. And I don't think I've come across poor early lactation milk, or even peak milks for that matter, that is genetic related. Majority of cows in a parity cohort tend to be genetically similar. So should potentially have the, you know, be able to give the same volume of milk. So, you know, those individuals that fall through the cracks, they tend to be caused by us as cow managers. It's not generally the cow's fault. First test fats, still quite like that. Yeah, fat detects can throw some crazy numbers. But if there's a trend either way, up or down, or a spike across a particular cohort, then probably wants investigation. Maybe nothing, maybe something. But unless you investigate, you know, again, you're in the dark. So the data close-up, you know, what are we achieving against what we should be achieving? You know, make sure you can look at the effect of short and extended close-ups as well. What does that actually have? You know, what's the result of that? What does it do? Dry period length, and again, what's the effect? Do we get increased disease incidence, elevated first cells, first test cells, etc.? You know, are we accurately recording dry day? You know, is it correct, or the people drying cows off in line with the plan? You know, to an early lactation exits 30 and 60. You know, 30 days in milk, 60 days in milk. You know, we're dealing with livestock. So unfortunately, things happen, you know, but how many cows are actually leaving the dairy and why? You know, at the end of the day, you freshen the cow. You want to see it complete lactation. So unless you're selling fresh cows. And then try and become more focused on leading metrics. You know, all those in rule two, if you like, they tend to be lagging metrics. So using those rumination health alerts pointing towards more leading metrics, so individual level and across the pen level as well. Other leading metrics, probably predicted monthly fresh. That's probably one of about the best you can get, I think. What potential pressure am I going to be putting on transition fresh care facilities in the future? Do you need to do anything about it? Because when you ask people, excuse me, what their average days in close-up is, you know, everybody gets the straight answer, 21 days. Great. But if you follow best practice and move cows on a close-up on a weekly basis, well, what is it? Is it 21, 27 or 15, 21 from predicted due date? Again, what's the effect? You know, I'm exposing cows to risk, for sure. Close-up periods, or am I feeding expensive close-up rations for longer than necessary? So, yeah, we all know what, you know, pressures on stocking density over the next few months can cause. You know, overstock close-up pans break cows. So, yeah. And when it does look like it's going to be a little bit tricky, you know, use that 21 days as maybe your median. You know, I'm running 18:24. It's a compromise, but it will get cows through that space a little bit quicker. Consistency. Yeah, be really boring about your transition cow management. You know, people often hear me say, bore your cows into performance. You know, best dairies I ever visit are the most boring places, but in a great way. You know, same routine, same timing, same pen flow, same feed delivery, you know, same push-ups, same day in, day out. I mean, I was lucky, going back, when was that? About 3-4 years ago, I was lucky enough to have Dr. Rick Grant from the Reminder Institute deliver a webinar on rumination to some consultants. And his final slide, it just said, don't chase rumination, chase consistency.
That's good, yeah.
You know, and that is so right. You know, variety might be the spice of life for me, but not for dairy cows, you know, and especially not for transition cows. You know, variety just invites risk. You know, there are high-risk groups of cows. You know, they always do better in environments that are predictable, minimal stress, minimal change, maximum cow comfort, and maximum opportunity to eat.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so go and check out the pens, see what's happening, and nip any farm blindness in the bud, you know. Cure's boring.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Want a herd management software designed for you? BovaSync is helping herds by managing data faster and easier. Contact BovaSync today to learn more. Natural Biologics delivers cost-effective solutions to improve health and productivity, helping conquer the rumen health and immunity challenges your animals face. Accurately measure individual cow feed efficiency with the newest advancement from AffiMilk. Visit AffiMilk.com to learn more. That's AffiMilk.com. Evonik Animal Nutrition, sciencing the global food challenges. Cow Manager, ahead of the herd together. Safe, simple, stop lack. Contact AHV for comfortable dry cow care. Reduce dyscalcemia and simplify transition cow care with Cowbell Pro from Chemlock Nutrition. For more than 25 years, Agrarian Solutions has been guided by our RISE core values: relational, integrity, strategic, and excellence. Since 1996, we've been a global leader in proprietary bacteria technology, delivering research-backed microbial solutions that help livestock defend against environmental challenges like mycotoxins, supporting health, performance, and reproductive success. From science-driven innovation to trusted relationships, Agrarian Solutions exist to help others succeed. Learn more at agrariansolutions.com.
All right. Well, thanks. That was a fascinating conversation on optimal transition cow management. Curious, you know, what you'll say here for our famous three questions. First of all, do you have a favorite dairy-related book or resource?
Yes, I do. Yeah. And it's just within reach to my left here, and it's the veterinary book for dairy farmers by a vet here in the UK, Roger Blowey, MRCVS. First published in 1985, I think. I did buy it in my last year at college.
Okay.
And it's published on a regular basis. And it's not so much about giving you the ability to treat cows, but if you read it in the right way, it actually tells you what you shouldn't be doing to cows to stop them going bad in the first place.
The Veterinary Book for Dairy Farmers. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay.
By Roger Blowey. So, yeah, I totally recommend it. Hopefully it's still in print. So
yeah, good. All right. What about your favorite book or resource outside of agriculture?
Oh, outside of agriculture, this is probably going to be a strange answer for you, but A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's seen all the drama, you know, the TV dramatizations and the films, but actually read the book. You know, it's published in 1843, and it's never been out of print since then.
That's amazing.
And it's probably one of the most, I find it incredibly humbling. You know, it's a ghost story at the end of the day, but it's incredibly humbling of the of humanity.
Dickens had incredible insight into human behavior and psychology, I think.
Definitely not our humbug.
You're breaking records here. All right, what about, in your opinion, what sets successful dairy professionals apart from those who are less successful?
Oh, those that listen.
Okay.
If you listen, you know, we've got two eyes, two ears, and one mouth. We should always use them in that ratio. You know, if you're listening and you're looking, then, you know, if you're hearing yourself talking too much, then you are talking too much. You know, listen to what your producers want to do, how they want to do it. You know, coming along with all the best ideas in the world is great. But if they can't or don't want to implement it, then you've got to find a compromise somewhere, and you've got to just move a little bit to the left and right sometimes. And yeah, listen.
Very good. Well, that's good wisdom to end on. Peter Jackson, thanks so much for joining us today.
So it's been a pleasure, absolute pleasure. So thank you very much.
Well, I've enjoyed it. Well, this has been another episode of the Dairy Podcast Show brought to you by Wisenetics. And if you haven't already subscribed or followed the show, make sure you do that today so you don't miss the next episode. We will see you then.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.